I'm here in my living room, peering through my mini blinds at a man who's sawing off something under my neighbor's car. Yep, this guy is stealing catalytic converters. And if you report thieves like him, you could get a reward up to $25,000. Just submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. That's H-E-A-T. The Virginia State Police HEAT Program. Reported. Rewarded.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Madeira Show, where he will discuss testosterone optimization and full body health for the high-performance modern man. Now, here's your host, Dr. Madeira.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Madeira on the Dr. Madeira Show. And today we have a special guest and great friend of mine, Dr. Michael Mueller. How's it going today down there in San Diego?
Oh, it's nice and warm and sunny, just like I assume it is in Seattle right now.
Yeah, we have a sunny day. Luckily, last week we had some rain, which was kind of unseasonably disappointing for August. But
dang it.
It's Seattle. You never know. You never know up here.
Loading up on that vitamin D while we can, though, huh?
That's right. That's right. So you're a naturopathic doctor in San Diego, and you work in men's hormone optimization, men's health. What kind of are your favorite things about working with men and some of your favorite therapies that you've worked with men over the years?
That's a tough question. I mean, I think one of the main things I like working with men is the fraternity in general, doing podcasts with other doctors that are men. And I love women too. Just looking at our society right now, I think our sense of community is kind of on the lower end. And so I think working with men gives me a sense of fraternity, and our men need it. You know, we have a lot of great all-star women in our profession. And in my class, we had 60 people, 50 of them were women. So, and you know, people tend to generate and become around people who they're more comfortable with. Like if you're talking about sexuality as a guy, I find it a little bit easier to talk to other guys. And so we have a big hole right now in our medical system with our guys. Mm-hmm. And especially in those places like sex, you know, with sexuality, mental health, libido, you know, muscle, like all the manly stuff that guys want to get around and talk about. So for me, I would say that the hormone realm is what I got most drawn to. And that has to do with, you know, being a guy growing up. I played a lot of sports. I was into bodybuilding, personal training, just like being outside and moving my body. So I was like, heck, why not make a career out of this? So as I went through school, I was in Bastyr, San Diego, second graduating class. And nice. Then I just started gravitating towards the testosterone realm because it's a huge hole and it's booming now. Like you can probably agree with me on that. 5-10 years ago, people were scared. And now it's like people are getting more comfortable and the guys are asking. Uh-oh. All right. So, but you know, when we have things like Facebook, we have things like YouTube, a lot of the guys are hungry for this information. So now they're all going out and looking for it. And then they're coming into doctors like you and I. They're looking for people like you and I. So I would say hormones. I've been playing a lot with the peptides here recently. I used to do a lot of IVs, not as much anymore. And I will say benefits, drawbacks of we live in a realm now that it seems like niching is very advantageous. So when people hear you, they think of something. So on my realm, I would say that the testosterone replacement's been kind of my power alley.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a really good synopsis. And I actually heard about you through other people in the kind of testosterone optimization community, if you will. So I definitely think you're doing an awesome job on YouTube. And if people listening to this haven't checked out his YouTube channel, definitely check it out. What's the name of your YouTube podcast channel?
Dr. Michael Mueller. And my podcast is called The Michael Mueller Mentality. And I do that hand in hand with YouTube videos. I've been doing a lot of more of so educational stuff right now. A lot of my videos are on peptides, 5 to 7 minutes talking about BPC, cerebral license one I just did, and MK677, because these things are new and a lot of people don't don't have an idea of what the heck they are. So
that's awesome.
Check me out.
Yeah. So we should get into some peptides that you like using with patients or the favorite ones that you've researched, since there just was at the beginning of, this is August, 2019. If someone's listening to this a year from now or something, August, 2019, there was an International Peptide Society conference, annual conference, I believe, in Florida. And I didn't get to go. I wanted to go. So I know some people went, some naturopathic doctors and other doctors and influencers, so to speak, who went and saw what they had to say. And a lot of people were on fire about it. So I think peptides is just more in people's consciousness and forefront of their mind. What are your top favorite peptides that either you've used with patients or yourself or reading the research?
Yeah. So I would say my favorite, I mean, ones that I see through the, I mean, like with anything in general in medicine. So I'm a naturopathic doctor, but I like to use things that work. And I think you and I can really agree on that. There are some herbs that will work great in certain circumstances and won't in other circumstances. Like if your tea is at 250, there's not a whole lot we're going to be able to do from a natural and holistic lifestyle to boost you up to 900. Like it's just hard. There might be a guy or two.
It's very hard.
Yeah. And so on my end, I've seen things like testosterone replacement and certain peptides that, I mean, they work, you know, and the thing is we live in such a society right now where people want it. They want it yesterday. So they come in, they have fatigue, they're not sleeping well, whatever it is their symptoms are, they wanted it to be fixed yesterday. So it's like, we have our backs against the wall as practitioners to fix things now. And when we look at westernized medicine, that's what it does. Your shoulder hurts, well, let's do surgery. You know, or this hurts, or, you know, whatever it is, let's cut it off, blah, blah, blah. And on my end, I want to use the most natural and holistic methods, but I also need to give patients results or they don't come back. Just been my experience.
True.
So I would say one of the first peptides I actually stumbled on was when I was looking into the growth hormone analogs. There's tesamorelin. But actually when we first got into it, it was like somorelin. And yeah. I heard so many mixed things on somorelin. I gave it to a few guys. I didn't really see much. They didn't really see much. Like, yeah, maybe I feel better. Maybe I don't. When I first started playing with what's called MK677, ibutamorelin, that's actually an oral one that you can take. I saw great results in a lot of my patients. They took it and they're like, wow, I slept better the night I took it. I'm more vascular in the gym. I feel more energy, like all these different things. So MK677 is a growth hormone analog. It's a ghrelin mimic. So basically tells your body, like, I'm hungry. And when you're in that state and that fast, it's like mimics the fasting state. You'll produce more growth hormone. So more autophagy, better overall, regrowth of the whole body in general. And I've actually used it in patients to help put on weight. You've probably seen some guys who are basically cachexic, just wasting. They come in, we put them on testosterone. The MK677 will make you hungry too. Most guys, not all guys. Mm-hmm. There is some research showing that it might mess with prolactin, thyroid levels. So always be cautious, be working with a doctor that can be keeping an eye on those things. And also some guys get maybe a little bit of like fogginess or fatigue or lethargy, 10 to 20% of guys. So again, it's really important. You're probably familiar with this too. Most of the people on the internet are just exploring these things on their own. So I'm very happy to get out there as a doctor who has some education in these areas and be like, okay, these are the things that I see, what I think we should do with these. Because there are guys, like I said earlier, on YouTube who are hungry for this information and they want to play with these things. They want to biohack. They want to take their life to the next level. But also we need to look at the side effects and we need to look at the contraindications and reasons these can be unsafe. And that's one of my biggest spiel about peptides, is that I really tell people to work with a practitioner. Now, I know it's more expensive, but it's way more safe. Guys, when you are ordering this stuff online from India, from China, they don't have regulations on the sterility of the stuff. I get my stuff from TaylorMade Compounding out of Kentucky. They're a compounding pharmacy. So if something goes wrong, their ass is grass. And when you're buying stuff where it says research chemical only for $50 online, and you're injecting that subcutaneous, that stuff can be contaminated. It could be not what it says it is. Like, just, and the thing that scares me about that is if we start doing that as a society, that's just going to allow the federal government to come in and be like, all right, now these stuff all has to be test, you know, it all has to be like regulated. It has to be manufactured. Compounding pharmacies can't do it. So I just kind of really caution people to be as safe as possible if we want to continue using these things, because they're cool. They're great. And I've said the same thing about IV therapy. We have to be careful yeah. about what we're playing with there.
So, I agree 100%. And as you said on your podcast, it's kind of right now, it's like the wild, wild west with this stuff, similar to regenerative medicine and other therapies where there's, you know, we don't want too much regulation, but there's not a whole lot where people can buy these research-based peptides online, like you just said, for $50. So if you're listening, don't do that.
Well, and misinformation too. So I grew up in the bodybuilding realm, and we have bro science. We have guys that say, for instance, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong on this one. When I went to the research in PubMed to look for the half-life of MK677, mm-hmm. I find that there were some studies on beagles that showed that it had like a 6 to 7 hour half-life. I can't find a study that shows its half-life measured in humans, but mm-hmm. I've gone on to YouTube and I've watched other people's videos, mostly bodybuilders, mostly laymen who are like half-life's 24 hours. And I've looked everywhere and I've had people come on my YouTube and be like, hey, half-life's 24 hours. And I'm like, hey man, if you can show me where the research is, where you're getting this information, I will change in an instant. So it also becomes an area of disinformation. You know, we have that with vaccines. We have that with all types of alternative medicine. And we really need to come together as practitioners. And I'm not, vaccine's a whole another kind of area to cover, but I'm just saying there's a lot of good information out there for mm-hmm. it and against it. And there's a lot of bad information out there for and against it. So as soon as it gets mucky like this, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to the peptide realm. So
I hope not. Hopefully we can keep it, you know, evidence-based and, you know, work with compounding pharmacies. I did do a podcast on compounding pharmacies, so you can go back and listen to that one with a compounding pharmacist. So hopefully people are working with practitioners who are in the know and, you know, in the hormone optimization world, naturopathic doctors, integrative practitioners who know about this stuff, and that they're working with compounding pharmacies so we can keep it safe. And that way you have a lot number and you can, you know,
yeah,
track it back and you have quality control. They have sterility measures they have to go through for their compounding pharmacy certification. So you like the MK version?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's great about it compared to the somorolin, the amplomorlin, CJC, testamorlin, is that it can be taken orally. The other ones all need to be done subcutaneous, and I have no problem with needles. It's so much easier to pop a pill instead of, like, you know, you got to draw it up, do subcutaneous injection. But I mean, it really depends on what you're looking to go for. Because I use TaylorMade, we've been unable to get the testamorlin here in California. I use the somorolin, and recently I've been using the combination of amplomorlin and CJ1295, which are also growth hormone analogs in my mimics. And mm-hmm. I've seen great results with that one as well. The CJ amplomorlin. I see guys feel more energy, actually a little bit of weight loss, more vascularity, better overall. To me, it seems like it's doing a little bit more of what you think what growth hormone would do. And I've only used it in a couple handful of patients, so I don't have a ton of anecdotal evidence with it. I use it myself. I actually got a little bit of flushing, and I isolated it out from the CJ1295.
Okay.
So one thing to kind of look for, and I've actually had a couple other people tell me that they have had some flushing from that one. So those are the two kind of the growth hormone ones I've been using right now. And again, the main difference between the two is with the MK677. I use that for people who are actively looking to put on weight because it will make you hungry. If I'm looking more for like longevity, maybe even a little bit of weight loss, I use the amplomorlin CJ1295. And it seemed like it does an okay job. It's not going to be like phentermine or, you know, other types of stimulants where you're just going to lose 20 pounds in a month, or, you know, 10 pounds in a month or whatever. So those would be the growth hormones I've been playing with.
Awesome. I love that. And yeah, and ipamorelin is FDA approved, right?
So I believe so. Yes. I got to keep up.
I think samarelin is also, I think those are some of the two main that peptides that the FDA has kind of put their stamp of approval on, which is a mixed bag because the FDA is a mixed bag, but
hopefully more approvals. The PT-141, that's a melanocortin-topin agonist. That's more for libido. It was originally developed in women, and I think they were doing a nasal spray, and it gave women high blood pressure. So they moved it to a subcutaneous injection, and women were having really good results with it. And now guys have been using that one. So I've used that in guys with ED and low libido. It actually works pretty good right between, you know, if guys are not responding to the PDEIs, the Viagras and the Cialis, but you don't want to go to something heavy like a vacuum or an injection. The PT-141 sometimes hits that sweet spot. That's a subcutaneous injection as well. Kicks in 2 to 3 hours and it helps get guys in the mood.
So basically do that injection on your snack break Friday afternoon, get ready for Friday night.
Yeah. You'll be, I've done that one, man. I had a colleague tell me a really funny story about that one that it was actually a little too much for him to handle. So I did a really tiny dose and I also felt almost kind of a little bit high. Like I felt pretty relaxed and stuff, but, you know, it's interesting that one, I think it has some studies for 2 to 3 years of use. It is FDA approved, but like anything, I don't know if we know a whole lot about the melanocortin receptor, you know, like that feedback system. So right. I'm a little bit more cautious to play with that, but I just tell my patients, you know, I probably, again, like you've had guys that come in or like my libido sucks, I'm depressed, life's not worth living. I'm like, all right, dude, we'll try what we can to get you into a good space. So that's what's also cool about the peptides is like they're kind of new and out there and they might be able to bring the relief these guys are looking for. So.
Yeah. And I mean, if we don't have long-term studies, they could cycle on and off it and
you
know, maybe use like a Tadalafil.
I'm on a city street in Virginia standing in an empty parking space where just last night, Bob's car was stolen. Did you see Bob's car get stolen? Probably not. But do you know who's been stealing cars in Virginia? You could get a reward of up to $25,000. Submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. The HEAT program from the Virginia State Police. Reported. Rewarded.
I'm here in my living room peering through my mini blinds at a man who's sawing off something under my neighbor's car. Yep, this guy is stealing catalytic converters. And if you report thieves like him, you could get a reward up to $25,000. Just submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. That's H-E-A-T, the Virginia State Police HEAT program. Reported, rewarded.
I'll fill troche or ODT or, you know, other things with it. Testosterone, of course, you always want to optimize testosterone as a foundation, as you do. So you're down in San Diego. You work in men's hormone health.
Yeah.
And you have your podcast. And you grew up playing sports and whatnot, and you feel like right now your favorite peptide for yourself is the MK-667.
And for myself, I mean, I took that one for a little bit because I was trying to put on some size. I would say I was using the BPC-157. That one's super popular, the body protecting compound, originally isolated from mucosal layer of the stomach. So it helps with regeneration, right? Our stomach regenerates really well. And so what they found out is that it helps recover the barrier in the gut, which makes sense because all the stuff about the microbiome, all the stuff about the gut brain axis, we know all these neurotransmitters are in our stomach, our serotonin. So to me, even when I did the BPC-157, I noticed more of a nootropic effect than I did. I was actually taking it for my elbow pain. I've had some elbow tendonitis. Yeah, so a funny story about that. If you're going to be using the BPC-157, you can take it orally in capsule, and you can also inject it subcutaneous around the area of if you have a musculoskeletal injury. So I was doing it in my elbow, and I was forgetting that there's a good sized little artery right over the
epicondyle or
no, I can't remember that. What's the name of the really small muscle? Let's see, like I'm already
Coming off of the. The wrist?
Yeah.
Area?
Yeah. Anyway, so just know your anatomy because there's a good size artery there. And I thought subcutaneous, I wouldn't have any problems. And I, you know, I got a good little like pop out of there and I had some good bruising from that. I'm pretty sure I nicked like an artery or something.
Ouch.
And, but you can inject it and you can inject it near an area of inflammation or pain. Some people have using it for like shoulders injuries for rotator cuff injuries. Knee pain. Some people are doing it actually intra-articular. I haven't gone that far yet. But was interesting for me is like I felt a significant boost in my cognition when I would do the elbow injections. And so then I moved to doing them some subcutaneously just to kind of play with them. And I've had a couple patients, you know, report really good gut healing issues, you know, as far as even like with Crohn's, UC. And if you even go on to the my YouTube video where I talk about BPC-157, there's people on there like, hey, I've taken it for this. And, you know, usually some type of gut issue and seen significant relief from gut pathology. So that's a really cool one. That one's getting a lot of hype right now. So.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one, both for myself to, because lately I've had some right hip pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, sit a lot and then I'll exercise really hard. And then I probably, you know, I've taken up yoga just to stretch out more lately. I'm not super yogi or anything, but I think it's nice to, you know, stretch out after having the hip flexors so tightened from sitting, driving, you know, and I'm sure other men listening to this could relate if you have a desk job and you're not having a standing desk or you don't have the ability to have a standing desk. I mean, even with the standing desk, we're supposed to go from sitting to standing every 25 minutes, which nobody does. So
right.
Basically, long story short, if you're not getting results with your, you know, acupuncturist, chiropractic treatments, pain management team, if you will, then, you know, look into this peptide. So
definitely. I don't know if it's quite as strong as like PRP and Prolo. And what's interesting though, is I think even the protocol for the BPC-157 subcutaneous injection around the area of pain is a small amount for about a month. You know, like a Prolo or a PRP is one hit. You know, I don't know how you do it. I'll usually do it 2 to 3 weeks, three times. Where this is like you do it a subcutaneous injection every day for about a month, and then you kind of reevaluate. You can go up to 2 to 3 months.
Awesome. So
check that's, it out, peeps.
Yeah, that's really exciting, especially for, you know, people like us who are athletes growing up, and then you get into a day job.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, 18 or 22 anymore, and you think you are, and then you go out there and you spraying something or something or you know, just lifting a sock off the floor, you pull something in your back,
right? I'm warming up with like one plate, where, you know, I'm used to warm up with two or three. I throw one plate on there, I'm like, ooh, I think I pulled something. It's like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's one myth that I hope to help blow out of the water with your help and other doctors' help in our communities is that as we age, that we have to suffer, or aging equates illness, or arthritis specifically.
Yeah.
Brain fog, you know, forgetting things.
Well, and you probably had this conversation when patients come in and we talk about testosterone and they're like, oh, well, my, you know, I talk about when you're 18, your testosterone's 1,000, 1,200. And then as you age, you hit 80 and it's down to 250. And my whole question about that is, when we look at your testosterone and you're a 30-year-old guy and it's at 350, and I basically equate that, I'm like, okay, do we get older and our testosterone goes down, or is it that our testosterone goes down and then we get these side effects of aging? And not just testosterone, you know, there's a plenty of other things that go into that equation, but we just know, as far as like bang for your buck in treatment, if we can get your testosterone optimized, you are going to be, you know, the brain function is going to be optimized, heart health's optimized, libido, motivation, energy. And a lot of times too, I tell guys, once you get your testosterone optimized, you're going to have more energy and motivation to do the things that you need to do to feel healthy. Because a lot of times guys are just depressed and don't feel good. So it's like, why would they make those lifestyle changes? And once we get the testosterone optimized, I say the same thing about kind of like with caffeine and adrenal fatigue, when people are really burnt out, I'm like, you need to do what you need to do. Like for me, when I was going through medical school, if I'm studying 30 hours this weekend, caffeine probably might be a little bit helpful, but
yep.
Come next week, you need to get off of it and rest a little bit. So it's meeting that person where they're at. So,
yeah, I liken it to, you know, I'm big on evolutionary biology, you know, being a plant biology kind of major in undergrad and herbalist, is that, you know, when we were cavemen, so to speak, we had these huge, you know, ceremonies after a big hunt or a big war as men. And then we would rest, or basically collapse and rest. And then we would go back to, you know, either migrating or foraging and hunting. So in our present day society, we don't really celebrate our wins as much, and we don't rest afterwards. we, you know, it's play hard, work hard, you know, hashtag YOLO, whatever. And what I see with that is that people are pushing in every area of their life and there's no downtime. There's no time for them to reflect. There's no time for them to say, okay, well, what the hell happened this week? You know, what happened at work? How's my relationship? Like, let's do some internal house cleaning on myself before I think about taking an anti-anxiety medication like a benzodiazepine. Oh, yeah. And I'm not faulting or blaming people who find that those medications are helping them for now. However, to educate, we know that benzos can, you know, long-term use have been correlated with things like dementia, and dementia is on the rise related to metabolic syndrome. So you have a perfect storm, a guy with anxiety from their job, lack of job security, and they don't feel secure maybe in other areas of their life, not that they don't feel secure in their own manhood, but there's just a lot of fires they have to put out all the time. You know, they're raising kids and the demands on people today are a lot more robust, I would say, than they used to be. You know, to raise kids today, there's a lot more expectations from parents and things like that. So what I'm getting at is just try to figure out how to rest in your day, and then you might notice, you know, some growth hormone go up, some testosterone, and things like that, because growth hormone is secreted from 10 p.m. to midnight at the highest peak. And if we miss that wave, which we're all guilty of, myself included, then it's going to be really hard to repair from, you know, that weekend warrior bike ride or hike or weightlifting or CrossFit competition, et cetera. So I'm really excited. And I'm glad that, you know, you're becoming and are the expert on, you know, peptides and testosterone and, you know, becoming known more for it, because we definitely need more men working with men, just as there's already women in the healthcare profession working with women, like you said. What are some other things that you would like people to know about peptides that, or maybe some myths that you've heard that are just completely bogus out there about peptides?
In my experience, thus far, they aren't as strong, you know, like some people say MK677, is that as strong as growth hormone? Not really. What I do like about the peptides is that they are a lot safer than most drugs out there. The one I haven't got to play with yet, but I want to, is there's one called the deep sleep inducing peptide. Mm-hmm. And we know, like you're saying, growth hormone's highest when we're sleeping the first hour or two. And then testosterone is also going to be optimized after 7-8 hours of sleep. Yeah. My colleague Alice Wynn, I don't know if you know her, she's in Orange County, and she had a patient that started taking it and noticed a significant increase in his LH, precursor to increasing testosterone.
That's great.
So what I do like is it seems like it's kind of between like the natural modality and when you get to drugs, it's kind of like that in-between space. So I would like to encourage people to try to go to that from a natural and holistic method first before we start going to the drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I think the safety thing, make sure you're getting it online. Be careful about the information that you do get online. I mean, we're in a world now where we do have Dr. Google, so people go on the Reddit forums. I talked about one, it's called Cerebral Lysin. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, actually, right in front of me, have the TaylorMade compounding list of mm-hmm. a bunch of their products. So I've just been looking at that the last 3 days. I just got it on Friday.
Yeah. And so Cerebral Lysin is, it's basically a brain-derived nootropic factor out of pigs. So they basically take stuff out of the pig's brain. And people are like, that's weird. I'm like, so are some of the thyroid or bovine, you know, some of the other medications that we're using are from animals. But I would say, yeah, the safety is the big thing that I encourage people to make sure that you're getting it good from a good source. But I mean, I understand when people are trying to save money and they're in a hard spot, because you're looking 2 to 3 times as much when you're getting it from a pharmacy. But it's like, that's because they have an actual infrastructure and they're paying actual pharmacists and they're doing things the right way.
They're doing the right way for your safety and potency too. So we can't validate.
I had a gentleman reach out to me via email and basically told me his friend was some type of chemist. And so they are ordering peptides from these research places, and none of, like, even the ones that had what they said they had like maybe 20 or 30%. So a lot of other type is just bunk. And then, you know, there's certainly, wow, some of them have to be cold too. Mm-hmm. So, and when people are shipping this stuff, and that's the same, my same argument for buying certain supplements on Amazon. It's like, oh, where, yeah, are they storing these things? How long they've been out? And I even tell my patients too, like, I have a wholesale account. So, and I think Emerson or Natural Partners, someone went after a couple people because they were like buying stuff wholesale and then selling it on Amazon. But, you know, someone, yeah, like you and I could take the glutamine powder from Emerson that's like X amount, $50, let's just say it's $50. I could dump it out and put rice powder on it and put it online and sell it for $75. Yeah. No one knows that. And so
it happens all the time. And I live and work in the greater Seattle area. My clinic's in downtown Seattle, 10 minute Uber ride from Amazon. And I know people who work at Amazon, and I've spoken to them over the last 3 years, just in social settings, and asked them what they're doing about the counterfeiting directly. And they didn't really like that, but
probably nothing. Like, what are they?
You know, they can't, they have a team that's supposedly quote unquote working on it. But I keep seeing posts on, you know, social media about Amazon saying, hey, be careful of the supplements. We can't control all these people selling because they're just doing what they do, and we're trying to regulate, but there's so many sellers on Amazon.
I heard what they're going to do is make their own supplement company, because then, you know, I mean, then Amazon, yeah, supplement, that way it's like, well, ours is legit, you know, kind of thing. But
that would be really interesting. No, thanks.
Yeah. I don't, dude, they're taking over. I don't,
yeah,
like it.
They are. They definitely are.
I would say I'm mostly libertarian, but and I don't think that it's a government's job to do a lot of things, but I do think breaking up monopolies is one of them. And when we look at,
yep,
Amazon, YouTube, Google, it's like,
I'm with you.
About as monopoly-ish as you can get. So, you
know, it's time to break it up. They have too many park places. Yeah, so basically these monopolies, and, you know, don't trust Google and Amazon and Facebook and big corporations that have special interests in making sure that you don't stay well. And
they're literally too big. Like, how are we supposed to expect them to look at every supplement that comes in there? You know, it's like YouTube. I just got approved on YouTube. I had 1,000 subscribers, and then all of my 75% of my videos all got flagged for not being able to be monetized, because I just don't know. They just flag them because there's an algorithm that they have that goes around. Luckily I got them reviewed and they've been approved for advertising on, but they're literally in such a place where even with censorship, it's also on the other end. It's like, if they start monitoring what supplements come in, it's like, how do you decide who, you know, because then it becomes a point of like, if you have a supplement and I have a supplement and you have a friend in Amazon, does your supplement get approved and not mine? It's yeah, sticky water, man. It's really sticky. It,
yeah. And I know the seller approval process, they're trying to make it harder, but it's also, you know, free market economy. And this is,
yeah,
this is what happens when you don't regulate monopolies. And yes, I'm all for people making a profit and, you know, doing well in business and abundance and all those things. I'm definitely, as an entrepreneur, I'm definitely not against that by any means, but it gets a little weird when, you know, your Gmail company is then teamed up with a major pharmaceutical company.
I'm on a city street in Virginia, standing in an empty parking space where just last night, Bob's car was stolen. Did you see Bob's car get stolen? Probably not. But do you know who's been stealing cars in Virginia? You could get a reward of up to $25,000. Submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. The HEAT program from the Virginia State Police. Reported. Rewarded.
And they're starting to go after some of the biggest names in natural medical care community, functional medicine, naturopathic medicine community, if you will.
You sell this
sharing stuff on like how to eat a healthy paleo meal, stuff like
that's
that.
That's dangerous, though.
It's darn dangerous, getting in the way of our drugs.
Yeah.
Our drugs.
You're giving misinformation on eating healthy. I'm like, wait, what? I'm telling people to eat a plant based, like certain things. There are plenty of stuff that's debatable, but yeah, I assume you're talking about like how, you know, there's some pretty good evidence out there that Google's search engine is shying away from, or even, you know, putting natural practitioners in the dark. I saw that, like Dr. Josh Axe and Mercola and a couple, yep, of the big names out there. And it's like shown, you know, if you go to YouTube and you search testosterone, you know who comes up first? Mayo Clinic. It's
not their video. They're an expert, not
their video doesn't even have good with, you know, like SEO. It's like not like, and I can see it because I have an application on YouTube that can go in. And when I look at, you know, that it's hashtags, its performance isn't very good. So if like, if you have a YouTube video that's an hour long and people are watching it for 45 minutes, like that's good. YouTube wants to promote that video. But when I look at the analytics for that video, it's terrible, but yet it comes up one on the search. So just be aware, people. At this point, I can't say there's a whole lot to do, but just be aware and try and be mindful of where you're putting your dollars.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I've just, if people are looking for a solution as far as Google, I mean, I haven't gotten away from Google completely because I have Google Drive and Gmail and all that stuff, like a lot of people for years. But you can use different browsers. So you can use the browsers that I've been using is Brave. It looks pretty cool. The logo is a lion, so that's cool if you're into the logos looking awesome, but in aesthetics. But seriously, they block ads, so you can make it so you don't have to even get or look at any ads.
Mm.
And then there are other emails. Dr. Mercola talks about that stuff.
I'll have to try that one out, Brave. I was using DuckDuckGo, and it to be honest, it's just not as good as Google. Like I'll search things and like, you know, for instance, like, you know, metric conversions and it'll like give it to me instantly or an address will give it to me instantly. DuckDuckGo is kind of like not giving me exactly what I was looking for. I mean, it's, you know, it sucks because they do give a superior service, but it's usually at, you know, it's because they're in the bureaucracy and they have some type of inside and they're paying people less and it's tough, man. It's really tough.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I was using DuckDuckGo as well. And it's, you know, the thing is you're right. They have to break up the monopolies. Google has amazing products. They have amazing people working on their teams doing great work. Just stay out of the pharmaceutical industry. It's dirty money. It's like the mafia. I have a whole episode 3 called Mafia Medicine. And we talk all about it. You can read, you know, books about it. There's tons of books that you can buy and read about it. And, you know, there's a whole book called, I think it's Dangerous. Let's see if I have it right here. It is Deadly Medicines and Organized Crime by Dr. Peter Gosha. And he's an MD and he used to work in the pharmaceutical industry in Europe. And then he got an MD degree and he helped start the Cochrane Review database.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to him in the last year is, I don't think a lot of people are aware of this. It was published by the British Medical Journal because they're awesome and like to criticize a lot of the stuff that's happening with the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry in the US. But what happened was, is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation essentially bought off the Cochrane Review database. And if you the Cochrane Review database is supposed to be the most unbiased, prestigious journal database in the world, which it is. And this all happened over vaccinations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go into what I think about vaccines today. Because I am fully vaccinated and I was born in a hospital and, you know, I'm not a complete wizard over here. But what I will say is that this is conflict of interest to the next level. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are doing a lot of good things and are doing a lot of kind of interesting human experiments. Depending on who you are, you may disagree. The things that we're seeing though is that with this conflict of interest, they bought off the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation bought off Cochrane Review, and they basically fired Peter Gosha off of the board, and he was a founding board member of the Cochrane Review database. He still is, I believe, running, as far as I know, I haven't read into this yet, the Nordic Cochrane Review database. So he still has that. And he's published a lot of research against basically the efficacy and safety of the HPV vaccine is what tipped the scale. And just criticizing the lack of safety data and research showing how efficient. And he's a medical doctor. So he is very rigorous and critical of allopathic medicine. And I don't think he is pro natural medicine. So I don't know about that. But what I will say for the listeners, it's not like a Dr. Mercola situation here. This is a man who is one of the most critical, prestigious researchers and minds in medicine, and he talks and writes a lot about all this. He's, you know, not for, for example, he has a whole book about mammographies being bad. So
interesting.
Kind of off topic, but it is on topic because you have to know where your information is coming from. And if it's not, in my opinion, if your information isn't coming from somebody who knows how to read research, sift through the BS in the research and the reality of the research, and somebody that is practicing medicine, working with real life patients, or has been a patient of multiple doctors and done a lot of research with doctors, then, or a PhD, PhD individual, then, you know, you're not getting the best information. That's just my opinion though. So peptides, you know, that's why we're talking to you, Dr. Michael, and about peptides, and not just some guy off the street who is injecting himself with peptides.
You know, be talking to the bodybuilders. I mean, and that's what kind of rose my eyebrow. And it's tough because there are, like you said, there's some PhD, there's some layman's out there. And I think you and I can agree, just because you have a degree doesn't mean you are, you know, are overqualified, and because you have a, you don't have a degree, you're underqualified, but it's just, it makes it a lot harder. Like you're saying, like we learned in school how to look at the methodology. Like you can read an abstract, you can read a conclusion, but can you go into the methods and be like, oh, well, this is why this and this happens, because you clearly fudged your conclusion. So when you go on YouTube, there's a lot of just kind of layman's talking about a wide variety of things, nootropics, peptides, testosterone replacement. And so I was kind of like, man, I need to get out there. And what's even for me, I mean, I'll blow my own cover. I've only been practicing for a couple of years. So I'm not like, I haven't been in this for 30 years, but I think I know more than these layman's on YouTube who have no medical degree at all. So it's like, we're, right. You know, but and it's like, at what point do you, are you the professional in this area? And so luckily for me, I just have a lot of passion for this stuff. So I have no problem jumping on PubMed and looking up 15, 20 articles on these peptides before I do a video, so I can, you know, talk about it from a research standpoint. And you can probably talk about this too, like PhDs that are great, but they don't have the hands-on evidence that we have, as far as like when you talk about testosterone replacement and its negative sequelae, I'm like, I haven't seen it. I've had guys on testosterone for years and they don't, you know, the heart attacks or the prostate, whatever it is, prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to, you know, I'm here working with a urologist. He's been practicing for 25 years. So I have that hands-on. I can, you know, talk to him. Hey, what's been your experience with this? This is what the research is saying, but this is what I'm seeing. And you got to be able to learn how to discern that, which isn't always easy. You know?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. And we, you know, I was on your podcast and we kind of blew up some of the myths around testosterone. What is the biggest one that you keep hearing from people? Is it, you know, it's going to cause heart attacks or prostate cancer?
Yeah, I would say the heart stuff, the clotting, the strokes, mm-hmm. and you probably get this, just cancer, not even prostate cancer. Like, oh, I've heard it causes cancer. I'm like, what kind of cancer? They're like, oh, I don't know, just like cancer. I'm like,
wow, that's what? Pretty broad.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like living causes cancer. So it's like, and that's where I try to be objective. I'm like, yeah, I mean, drinking water can cause cancer. Like, I mean, as we live, we have cancer that grows in our body at all time and place. So anything you're doing can be either hurting or helping the body. So, I mean, those are always like, to me, half the time, we don't even get the question right. You know, so then I have to take this. So what you're asking me is this going to increase your chance for cancer? Maybe prostate, probably not, but like there's some research that's conflicting, but all your other cancers go down and you're going to live a healthier and happier life. So it's like,
yeah,
what do you want? I mean,
the other big cancer for men is skin cancer. And usually that's because they're working outside and, you know, not wearing clothes, or, you know, now we know the sunscreens are getting baked into our skin and we're absorbing all these chemicals, yeah, like BP, which is a xenoestrogen and can just whack out your whole body. So that's a whole other topic. But if people are listening to this, definitely check out the book, Estro Generation by Dr. Anthony J. And I've been listening to it on Audible. Speaking of Amazon, thanks Amazon for Audible. One thing I do like.
Oh, is it on Audible? I should have got it on Audible. I ordered it and it's been like back ordered. I think I ordered it in July.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He must be getting a lot of press, maybe through Jay Campbell's group or something like that. Or
he's been on a couple of big podcasts now that I've seen. So good for him. He's as great, you know, just to give you a summary of his book, just kind of like what Dr. Sam is saying, there's so much stuff out there that's turning us into soy boys. You know, all these estrogen receptors, you know, all these things that are increasing your estrogen, decreasing the testosterone. And to me, I'm really more concerned about, like you're saying, I'm fully vaccinated. I grew up in the regular medical system. I feel pretty good. But who knows what's going to happen to these kids that are getting, they get like 3 to 4 times as many shots as we do now. And just like the chemicals and just the plastics. And we know that a grandma, you know, your egg was carried in your grandma. So it's like, what was happening back then is affecting us now. So it's like, what we're doing now is going to affect our grandkids.
Yes. So, you know, effect is massive. And filling up that bucket with the allostatic load of chemicals and all that stuff. I had a question for you, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot. So you don't know, that's cool. So what I've been told is for like cognitive benefits and stuff like that is to start with the TA1 peptide.
Oh, thymosin alpha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? And you want to say the full name for the listeners?
It's a thymosin alpha. And there's the thymosin alpha and the thymosin betas that get kind of switched up, if I remember right, because some of people are using them for, one's more immune and one is more longevity. I haven't used any of those, thymosin alpha or thymosin beta. But there are more than a handful of the nootropic peptides. Like that one, the cerebral lysine, I think would be, it's actual brain drive nootropic factor. And that's why I picked that one to go with first. And as far as going through the research, people in Europe have used that for cognitive decline as Alzheimer's, dementia, ischemic stroke, TBIs. I think there's a drug company in Europe that actually uses it. So I feel pretty safe about that one too, because there's other, it has a pretty good history. The thymosin alpha and betas, I literally don't know enough about, but there's also the Cimax and the Cilenc. And I did the Cimax, and me and two of my patients did, and it was some type of cognitive, some way to increase cognition. And then the other one I still want to play with is the Epitalon. Have you heard of that one?
Not yet. I think I'm going to start with the TA1.
Yep.
For immune modulation.
Yep.
And repair, just for, you know, my overall immune health. You know, being a doctor, obviously we're around a lot of sick people. And then where I grew up in Northern New England, there's a lot of Lyme disease and Lyme co-infection.
Yeah. I've heard good things about thymosin alpha for that. And I've known some people that are mixing BPC-157 and the thymosin alpha together. I was trying to, you know, starting with one and going to the other. It's interesting though, the Epitalon I think is going to get pretty popular in the biohacking community. Because supposedly increases telomere length. So a lot of people are using that for overall longevity, feeling better, energy, and cognition. Haven't played with that one yet, though. So I need more patience.
Longevity, and I'm looking at a TaylorMade spreadsheet. You can use it subcutaneous, it looks like.
Yeah.
And it's 3,000 micrograms per milliliter. For 1 × 5 milliliters, it's $225. And they say for hormone regulation and telomere extension.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy out of Russia. Awesome. I can't remember this guy's name. He's been playing with that one for like 20 or 30 years, and he has a couple papers published.
Whoa.
And last time I talked to Ryan Smith of TaylorMade, he had told me that the studies have been replicated. I haven't went back into the research to see that yet, though.
That's awesome. This is such an exciting area, and you know, I'm excited to try out the things on myself. And you know, I have a lot of patients with autoimmune disease, and we're seeing more things that were, when we were in school, that they thought, hey, you know, Hashimoto's and thyroid disease is, you know, 98% female or whatever the stats were. And I'm seeing more and more men with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, autoimmune, low thyroid function. And from all the chemicals, you know, I have a clinic out in Whitefish, Montana, Flathead Valley, Northwest Montana, Flathead County. And there's a lot of farmers spraying all kinds of chemicals out there. And with, you know, fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, et cetera, and body aches and pains. So I think that some of these peptides with a good heavy detox, some good naturopathic remedies on board would really help them.
Oh, yeah.
And without having to, you know, spend a lot of money on other lab tests and things like that. And in these studies you're reading, are they mapping out as much as they can with the kind of endocrinology pathways and things like that of how it's stimulating different parts of the brain, the pituitary and whatnot, or is it?
A good amount of them. Like when you, Yeah, if you go into like the especially the growth hormone secretagogues, they'll give you a decent idea, you know, working on the ghrelin. Mm-hmm. Some of them are looking more mechanism of action, like the BPC being isolated from the gut mucosal layer. So it's like, okay, that heals. And they actually started using that on rats first. And then I think some bodybuilder. So again, it's like, you know, props to those guys started injecting it sub-Q around areas for healing. And then like cerebrolysin, again, when they're isolating it, looking at it, it's like brain-derived nootropic factor basically coming out of there. So I don't remember off the top of my head some of the other peptides. The thymosin alpha one, I haven't gotten into that one or the thymosin beta enough. So, but I do have some colleagues, like you're saying, Lyme disease, you know, any type of these co-infections with cytomegaly, EB. Mm-hmm. So it's promising because a lot of those people, I have a buddy, Dr. Corey King, and I think he's using them like with ozone. So, you know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff too. It's like, once we figure out these mechanism of action, can we make, you know, why not take BPC to heal the stomach, take the cerebrolysin to increase the brain drive nootropic factor, throw some, you know, ozone in there to clean out all the dead stuff. And it's like, yeah, we might have some really cool stuff popping out here soon.
I love that. What I'm really excited about is to use this with the testosterone replacement therapy.
Oh yeah.
Testosterone optimization.
That's a given. That's a given.
Yeah, definitely. And then combine that with, there's a company out of Canada called Utrance, and they make supplements based on your epigenetic profile, your functional genetic profile. It's a saliva test. Better than 23andMe, because if you don't know, 23andMe was bought off by a pharmaceutical company, so they're mining your data to make better drugs, supposedly, which could be good, but you know, I think we'll just see what happens. But 23andMe wasn't making a profit, so they finally got paid. I think they bought out for almost $300 million. I forget.
That's, but anyway,
yeah, so a lot of money. So don't use 23andMe, but check out Utrance. And if, you know, someone, for example, doesn't have enough genetic epigenetics with like BDNF or something like that, then they could do the cerebrolysin, mm-hmm, and maybe increase that and prevent things like dementia.
Yeah, I wonder if you have like, you know, APOE4 is the marker for Alzheimer's disease. So like maybe someone with APOE4, you know, it's almost like preventative to be doing a certain peptide that helps with that area. So like cerebrolysin.
It's really cool stuff. I'm really excited where this can go for people and, you know, help people get to the next level. And, you know, obviously we're naturopathic doctors, so I like to use herbs and natural substances too. But if you could shorten both, you know, if you're looking at the expense of peptides versus taking something like gut healing herbs and powders for 5 years.
Yeah.
You can take peptides for a year.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like if you have a hard, heavy hitting, how many people have GI issues for years, you know, mm-hmm, they're on all types of, you know, they're spending $200 to $300 a month. And you look at something like BPC, and if my memory serves me, that's anywhere from like $200 to $300 a month on our end, you know, and that's like us not making money. So, mm-hmm, if you can do that for 2 to 3 months, I mean, that's the way I usually try and equate it to most of my patients. Like, yeah, you might be spending quite a bit of money now, but if you don't get this fixed, how is it going to affect your job? Is your performance going to decrease? That can be worth a couple thousand right there, just in how you're showing up to work. Do you want to play with your kids? And I don't try and use it to shame people. I'm just like, you know, I try to tell them from my point of view, I would do this, this, and this. Bite the bullet now. And that's one of the big arguments for PRP and stem cells. Like, do you want to spend the money and get it over with straight up? And is stem, you know, but you can also take your time. Even with, I don't know about you, I still get really good results with Prolo.
Oh yeah.
I had I think she was in her 70s, plantar plate tear in her foot, you know, needing surgery. And I did, she didn't walk for like 2 years because it hurt her foot. I did one Prolo on her and it was like 90% better. Second Prolo done. Prolo. Yeah. You know what I'm talking? It was like, I charged $195. That's $400. Or she could have got a stem cell injection for like 10 grand. I'm like, dude, let's just try this out.
Yeah, dextrose is good medicine. And I know Dr. Tina Moore and Dr. Mm. Paul Anderson talk about dextrose breaking up biofilms.
Mm. I need to get more in that realm.
Yeah, which is
cool. Listen to your episode with Dr. Paul, dude. Paul, he was like, yeah. When I was in school, he's like the OG, you know?
He is. Yeah, he was my professor at Bastyr in Seattle, and then I was lucky to shadow him as he was kind of moved to part-time faculty member, and then I graduated and shadowed him for the year after I graduated med school, which was
nice. Really, that's lucky. Great, man. Yeah. He's one of those guys. If we could get about 30 of him in our profession, like, and we'll have a lot of good other doctors too, but he does a lot of good work in a wide variety of ways. Every time I hear the guy talk, he just knows something about, you know, he probably knows more about this than I do. And that's like all I'll do. And I listen to him and he's a wizard for sure.
He is. Yeah. He has an amazing brain, and I'm very grateful to him for everything he's done for our profession. Mm-hmm. I think more people need to share what they know.
Oh yeah.
Become experts or, you know, elders in the ND community, and just, you know, even if it's just recording it on a podcast, you know, just get it out there, create an online course for us so that, and we'll pay for it. And mm-hmm. so that it doesn't die with you, you know, don't let your dreams and your knowledge die with you.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough. I did Dr. Tina's Morse injection course.
Nice.
I got to go shadow Dr. Michael Cronin several times.
Nice.
And, that's basically all he does is injection. And then I got into a shadow with Dr. Harry Allison once as well. So I was very fortunate in the regenerative medicine world to shadow some giants in our field. So big shout out to them and all the other people that I've shadowed. And here we are today, you know, trying to, like you said, I'm just trying to, people in my field, like, you know, my friends, that when you come out, like, you niche in one area. So it's just really hard to know it all, you know, mm-hmm. and medical doctors, there's a time and place for it, but most of the time you're sick. Here's the protocol. On our end, it's like, okay, you have, you know, HPA axis dysfunction, you know, you have some mental emotional stuff, some GI stuff. It's like, where do we even start? You know? And it's like, I know testosterone, so I can fix that pretty quick. But then you're having these GI issues, your blood pressure's kind of up and down. And then, so.
Yeah, it definitely takes a team. And, you know, I'm still doing pretty long visits with my first patients, you know, 1 to 2 hours. And I think prospective patients listening to this might say, well, that's a long visit if you're used to a 10 to 20 minute visit with your doctor, or 7 minutes, which is the average MD visit, and just getting a pill for a symptom and not resolving it. But I mean, these patients we work with, we're asking for their life story. We want to know them. We want to know what's going on in their relationships. And it's a big, you know, ball of wax and yarn, and we got chewed up gum in there. We got to untwine all that stuff and like sift it out. So, you know, when you work with a naturopathic doctor, you're not just saying, oh, well, you know, I just want thyroid medication from a compounding pharmacy and a couple of peptides and testosterone optimization therapy. It's going to be a lot bigger than that. And if you're ready to go down that road, then you're going to find the right person, hopefully, and they're going to help you. And, you know, I'm biased, but I think we're two of the right people for the men on the West Coast. So,
oh yeah.
Hopefully that is, you know, this podcast and Dr. Michael's podcast are helping to revolutionize people's minds around this and get more accurate information out there. Before we started the podcast, we were talking about nicotine and neurotropics. And just real quick, we got a couple of minutes left. I just wanted to talk briefly for the people who are in that high demand job, the entrepreneurs, the men in corporate world and the tech world on the West Coast, or even, you know, if you're in Montana and you're running a farm or a business and you maybe like to have some chewing tobacco or smoke cigarettes or cigars, what's really going on there with nicotine and as a neurotropic? And maybe people don't realize that they're grabbing towards something and self-medicating. And yes, it is an addiction, but let's maybe talk a little bit more about how nicotine could be used in moderation beneficially for focus.
Yeah. And I think in your background and experience in plant biology, and I think you've done some work with some native people too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Talking about the natives have always used tobacco as a very sacred plant, and tobacco, the nicotinic receptor basically helps increase our parasympathetic, which is our rest and digest, and is to slow down and feel good. That's why when you're stressed, people are smoking that cigarette. They need that the hit to calm things down. And so, I mean, I'll admit it. When I grew up, I didn't ever really get into like Grizzly and all that like hardcore chew that had a lot of chemicals. I mean, that stuff literally is tearing up. It has like microfiber glass in it, and it cuts up the mucus, the layer of skin in your mouth.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And so, you know, you and I were talking about if we could find a good, and I recently just ordered some organically cured tobacco from Canada, and I chewed on a little bit of that to get the nicotine in it. Because to my understanding, a lot of the negative stuff from chew isn't even from the tobacco, it's from all the other chemicals and crap they put in there, the cadmium, the arsenic, especially when you're smoking. So if you can get regular tobacco and it has that nicotine, like we talked about earlier, there's a time and place for everything. If you're in medical school and you're just go, and you're on all this coffee, you know, maybe a little bit of nicotine can help settle you down. Like any type of herb, like ashwagandha, can help settle you down. So I think the devil is really in the detail. And I think that if you can find a good source of tobacco, it might not be a bad idea. I would highly, highly, highly recommend for all you people who are out there and you're smoking to at least like step one, okay, find a good organic tobacco that isn't just like cigarettes. Like American Spirit, I think is decent. You know, it's okay. You know, and it's like anything. Like I'm not going to convince someone that they need to be on, you know, 500 milligrams of caffeine a day. It's like step one, 300. And the devil's in the detail. So like I'm not dogmatic usually in any way in medicine. So your situation is going to be individualized. And I told Dr. Sam before the podcast that a buddy of mine had actually sent a study that showing that guys who smoked, and this was like in the 60s or 70s, that their testosterone was actually 20 to 30% higher than guys who didn't smoke. And, you know, the sympathetic nervous system releases often a lot of cortisol. Cortisol shuts off steroidogenesis, which will lower your testosterone. So maybe if you're able to influence the other pathway, the parasympathetic, you feel more relaxed. You're celebrating your win. You're feeling good. You know, like having that cigar every once in a while after you catch that big mouth bass and you're out on the lake, you know, and smoking that stuff. So don't really inhale that much, but it's like anything. We gotta enjoy and live life. So, but yeah, we also don't want to be getting cancer and stuff. So devil's in the detail, people. And that's kind of my spiel. I don't know what your spiel is.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, try, you know, I'm a big proponent for people having, even if you just have it in a windowsill or something, or a small little greenhouse in your backyard, try to grow your own vegetables and herbs. And tobacco is going to be hard because it's a climate thing. So, but if they're growing it in Canada, most climates in the U.S. should be able to grow it. And the main issue with tobacco is they're just spraying the hell out of all that tobacco, as hopefully everybody knows. So you're smoking pesticides and herbicides, which is carcinogenic. So it's actually not the tobacco and the combustion and whatnot. So it would be cool to have like an herbal chew that had tobacco, organic tobacco in it that, you know, guys
maybe could some use licorice. You know, maybe throw a couple other things in there. So I don't know, maybe we got some investors out there that are listening who wants to make organic, like parasympathetic chew.
Yeah.
And I would use it. Cool. Your first sponsor's right here. Okay.
Yeah. Send us free samples.
Yep.
So where can people find you again on YouTube?
Dr. Michael Moeller. And if you haven't already checked out the podcast, me and Dr. Sam did, that's up there. We busted some myths on testosterone replacement. And I'm also on Instagram, Dr. Michael Moeller. I'm trying to be more active on there, but YouTube's kind of my main gig for the time being. And I'm on Facebook too as the Michael Moeller Mentality. So
awesome. Thanks so much for your time and sharing all your clinical pearls and knowledge with everybody.
Hey, brother, it was a pleasure to be here. I'm very honored and privileged to talk with you on the regular and to share this information with everyone.
Awesome. So everybody check them out, and we'll see you back here on the podcast again soon.
Now here's for my mandatory disclaimer. This is a medical information podcast and is only for general information purposes. It does not substitute or constitute the practice of medicine or any medical practices, including the giving of medical advice to any individual. And please observe that no doctor-patient relationship has been formed here. This medical podcast offers health, hormone, fitness, and nutrition information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitution for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional. Do not disregard, avoid, or delay obtaining medical or health-related advice and appropriate treatment from your healthcare professional. Users should seek the care of their physician or healthcare professional for any such conditions. The use of any information provided on this podcast is solely at your own risk. The contents and topics of this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA nor approved by any other government or official body. The topics and content covered is not intended to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease or disorder of any kind. Developments in medical research may impact the health, fitness, and nutritional advice that appears here on the podcast in the future episodes. No assurance can be given that the advice contained in this podcast will always include the most recent findings or developments in medicine with respect to the particular material covered. If you are in the United States and think you are having a medical or health emergency, call your healthcare professional or 911 immediately. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and looking forward to have you on future podcasts. Thank you.